This sermon is titled Anointing of the Holy Spirit Series, Flowing with the Anointing, Part 4. Be enriched as you listen.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor. Thanks for the warm welcome. I'm really overwhelmed and joyful to be here. Truly, it's an amazing opportunity. I want to begin with thanking God for this opportunity. And also, I want to thank my senior pastor, Pastor Ashish, for trusting me and giving me this opportunity. You know, I'm really overwhelmed. It's so happy to be, you know, giving back to the church where you've been feeding, where you've been growing from last 10, 11 years. So this has been my home church, and so happy to be here serving in any way possible, you know. So I want to thank all of you all. So I've come here with expectation. So I want to preach the word with expectation. I want to see what the Lord wants to do in our midst. How many of you are sitting here with expectation? Amen. The Bible says, God pour out his spirit on a thirsty and the dry land. Amen. So may God do his work today. So let's fix our focus on Jesus. Amen. So as we begin, we'll see the word. You know, everybody, we all know that we have been journeying together with the series Anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is the fourth week. Now we'll have a quick review of past week. So part one, we began with an introduction message, where we saw the introduction about anointing and also the distinction between anointing coming upon us and anointing flowing through us. Amen. And then second week, we saw how we are supernaturally empowered to accomplish every assignment that God has assigned in our life. There is an anointing for every assignment that God has given to us to accomplish that we are supernaturally empowered. So last week, we saw how the anointing of God, anointing of the Holy Spirit is tangible. It is visible, it is perceptible, it is recognizable. The hand of the Lord, when the hand of the Lord comes upon us, we can see it, we can recognize it, we can feel it. And today we are going to see how we can flow with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So title of the today's message is Flowing with the Anointing. Amen. So today we want to learn how we can learn, we want to see from the scripture how we can learn to yield or to submit and to partner with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So today, let's believe that God will move powerfully here in our midst. Amen. Just imagine, if you see the stream of water flowing, it's pure, it's crystal, it's clear, and it's soft, but it's powerful. It is moving, and everything it touches, it revives. It sustains. Naturally, it revives everything it touches. It has life in it. And you're seeing the flow. And you're standing outside, just parallel to that and seeing, observing. And you want to get into that. You get in and move in sync with its current. You don't disrupt the flow, but you go along with the flow. So when you go along with the flow, it gives you the refreshing. It revives you and it takes you forward. Same with the flowing with the anointing. We recognize the anointing. We see the anointing. And then we lean onto that and just move with that anointing. So that as we move with the anointing, we will see what that anointing has got to do. Amen. To working with the Holy Spirit is just to obey Him, surrender to Him, and see, experience, and receive what He wanted to do at that moment. Only then we can see that happen. Only if we lean to His anointing, only if we lean to His flowing, then we can see what He has got to do at that moment. Amen. So today we are going to learn from the scripture how we can be we can be equipped and learn to flow with the anointing. This is very important for us as a believers in our daily day, in our day-to-day activities. Even in the ministries, corporate ministries, one-on-one ministering, one-on-one, or you're doing your corporate job, it is very important for us to flow, recognize the anointing, and also flow with the anointing. Amen. So first, we'll begin with how God prepares us. Everything that God does, He begins with preparation. Without preparation, God will never put us into war. Without preparation, nobody will send us into a work to accomplish any assignment. God also begins with preparing us. Preparation involves filling up and stirring up. Now, God promised in His word. We see in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of the living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice the sequence. Jesus is first inviting, you come, drink. Drink what I am giving. And then, out of your inner man, out of your innermost being, the rivers of living water will flow. Without being filled, there is no outflow of the Spirit. If there is not something inside, we cannot have that flowing within ourselves. First, we need to be filled. And Jesus has promised it. He's not saying just he will quench the thirst. He'll just fulfill your thirst. He's saying, you come and drink, and after that, out of your innermost being, the rivers of living water will flow. Amen? This is what God is preparing, because he knows that we cannot do anything on our own. And he also mentioned in John chapter 4, verse 14, he said, the water that I give, not only will quench your thirst, but also in you it will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This is a promise. So that is why we emphasize as a church, every single believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that is a promise of God. That is a word of God. So once you are filled, only then you can see the flow. If there is no filling inside, you cannot have the outflow of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then once you are filled, as you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with His power, and also you're filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How can we say that? Gifts of the Holy Spirit are a believer's toolbox. So when you are anointed, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, those gifts are also deposited inside of us. So once the gifts are deposited inside of us, what should I do? I need to stir up those gifts through prayer. If you don't realize the gift that are inside of you, you will not stir the gift. That is why Paul writes to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, he says, Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. He received the gift. He's saying, do not neglect those gifts. So we as a believer, we are also loaded, deposited with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you cannot say that, no, once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot say that there are no gifts in me. No, they are there. You are not aware of it. Now you should stir up those gifts through praying continuously. No, when we are received, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the notable gift that we can see is praying in tongues. So as much as you pray in tongues, you're stirring up the gifts. So those gifts, the anointing will be expressed through those gifts at that time, whatever area it is required to. For example, if I want to service my bike, what do? I go and take relevant tools that require to service my bike. Or if I want my plumbing work to be done, I go and pick up relevant tools that require to get the job done. In the same way, when I want to pray for the people who needs healing, the gift of healing will operate. If I want to pray for the miracle, the gift of working of miracles will operate. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? So the gifts are residing inside me, deposited inside me. But when I keep praying in tongues, I am stirring up those gifts. And whenever it required, at the right season, at that right moment, the gift will operate. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit, not the gifts of the man, not the gifts of mine. So he will operate at his own will. But I am stirring up those gifts. Amen. Today I want to encourage you. If you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, today is the time. You ask God, who is the one who fills us with His Spirit? It's God. He is a source. And today God will fill you with His Spirit. Amen. It's a gift, and we don't want any believer to lose this gift. We need this gift. Amen. So first God prepares us. He fills us with His Spirit, fills us with His gifts, and then we stir up through prayer. And now once we do this, we recognize the anointing and go with it. This is very important for us. There is anointing. Sometimes we feel, sometimes we don't feel. That depends. That is why we should develop that sensitivity. We should recognize the anointing and go with the anointing. Now, Jesus talks to Nicodemus here in Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 8, where he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Flowing with the Holy Spirit is described as working with wind and wave. He's saying the wind, you know, you cannot see the wind, but you can hear the sound. You can see the direction, but you cannot see it. You just lean onto it and go wherever that wind takes you. It is like this working with the Holy Spirit. It is like this flowing with the anointing. You just sense it and just you lean to that and go in accordance with that wherever it takes you. Amen? Now just imagine this example, flying a kite. I'm sure most of you all might have tried. I never tried, but I just want to try to explain you how it works. So flying a kite. So flying a kite requires, you know, you need to understand how all the forces work together for a kite to fly in the air, high in the air. So the flyer, he holds a kite and he walks. If there isn't wind, naturally it lifts up, or else he'll just hold it and run for some time. And when the wind picks up and the wind is strong on the top side of the kite and weak in the bottom. So the difference in the air causes the kite to lift. So then the kite flies high. And then the flyer, he adjusts the intensity, he adjusts the height or how high it can fly with the tension of the string. And also he aligns the surface of the kite to the direction of the wind. The angle of the kite should be in proportion to the direction of the wind so that it picks the wind efficiently. So there are a lot of forces acting on this. There's a force called lift, drag, gravitational force. It should overcome the gravity and then the tension. So all these forces are involved to make sure that the kite keeps flying high. And it is very important in this, the wind is a driving force. If there is no wind, the kite will fall down. The same way, you need to realize, recognize that wind and just align yourself to that wind so that the wind will pick you. The wind will take you. Just obey the wind, take. If you're not understood how to fly a kite, I'll give another example. How to surf in an oceans. Now, if a surfer takes a surfing board, just as soon as he takes a surfing board, he does not go and dive in the ocean. If he does that, he'll straight away go into the deep. What he does, he watches the pattern. He watches the pattern of the wave, how the waves are coming, the patterns of the wave, where is a breaking point, and he observes it, and then he puts himself in a position where the wave of the wind is strong, and he adjusts himself to the current of the wind, the wave, and then he aligns himself there so that the wave will pick the bottom of the back of the surfboard, and then it carries him forward. And he does this again and again, repeatedly, same. Until and unless he succeeds well. And once he succeeds, it's easy for him to ride a wave. So similarly, the same thing with us. Once you spend time in the presence of God, keep spending time in the presence of God, again and again and again and again, then you will develop that sensitivity to understand or to recognize the moving of the Holy Spirit. If there is no sensitivity, though there is a presence of God is there, the presence of God is so strong, you don't feel, because there is no sensitivity here. I'm unable to sense the presence of God, or I'm unable to sense the movement of God or the Spirit, the stirring of the Holy Spirit, because the sensitivity is not there. So we all need to develop this sensitivity by spending more time in prayer, spending more time in praying in tongues, and then you see, you recognize the anointing coming up. When you recognize the anointing coming up, then you will realize what assignment has it got. And then just you align yourself to that and let that anointing take you. Amen? How many of you are understanding what I'm saying? Yes? So it is, we must develop sensitivity to the Spirit, which is as we flow with the anointing, that is to go with what Holy Spirit is doing. That is when we see, experience, and receive what he has got to do at that moment. If I don't partner with the Holy Spirit, if I say, Holy Spirit, no, whatever you're saying is not, I don't want to do it, then I cannot experience, or I cannot receive, or I cannot see what he is intended to do it at that moment. So as a believer, this is our prayer. As a church, we need to develop that sensitivity to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Third thing, once you are recognizing anointing, you're going with it, now stay yielded and operate under the anointing. Stay yielded and operate under the anointing. Now, operating under the anointing may not be every time the same thing. There are several different ways how we operate under the anointing. No? And we'll see a couple of few of the things how we can flow under the anointing. First thing, flowing with the anointing would sometimes require us to work as a team with others. Flowing with the anointing is not always working alone. It's not a one-man army. Flowing with the anointing always also requires you to work with others as a team. You know, we see that in the Bible, a story where the workers come together to build the tabernacle, to work at the tabernacle. God anointed them. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 31, God anointed them. He filled them with the Spirit. He filled them with the wisdom. He filled them with the knowledge and understanding. And he taught them everything, whatever he taught Moses to do. And these, all the workers got the knowledge from God. What kind of work they are doing? They are doing the artistic work, the wood carving, or they are doing the artistic work in gold, silver, bronze, and then they are cutting the jewels, all this work which is required for the tabernacle. And God has given them the wisdom. God has given them the Spirit. God has given them the knowledge. And also, he has given them the ability to teach others. So all these workers, whatever they received from God, they also taught others, and they everybody worked together to accomplish everything that God has asked them to do. Amen. So imagine, what if they have not worked together? They say, oh, I am wiser than you. I don't want to hear your voice. I don't want to hear your opinion. I'll do my own. If the workers have worked like that, they wouldn't have accomplished what God wanted to accomplish. They worked in harmony. They were wise. They were knowledgeable. They were filled with the Spirit of God. Yet, they worked together as a team. Because they worked together as a team, they could able to accomplish everything that God asked them to do. Now we see the beautiful psalm in Bible, Psalm 133, where it talks about how beautiful it is for everyone to dwell in unity. Now, not everything which is good is not pleasant. Everything which is pleasant is not good. But being in unity is good and it's pleasant. Amen. It flow, the anointing flows there. There is life in it. And there is also blessing in it. Lord has declared it. There is power in unity. We as a church, a lot of teams, almost every team, we work together as a team. When we unite together, everybody has got the differences of opinion, everything. But when it comes to the work, we are anointed, we are flowing in the anointing, but we are working together as a team. Flowing in anointing also requires working as a team. Amen. In the team, there might be somebody who doesn't know the work, but God has given you the anointing to teach them also. Amen. God has given you that ability to teach others as well. What God has taught you, the skill what God has given you, you go and teach them. So that if we work together in harmony for the work of God. Amen. Second thing, flowing under the anointing would require us to step out of comfort zone. Maybe step out of our mind. This is very important. You're flowing under the anointing. Sometimes you need to step out of your comfort zone. You cannot confine to that normal thing where, okay, I don't want to take risk. I'm happy to work within this circle, within this boundary. No. Sometimes you have to step out of that boundary and say, Lord, I don't want to work within my box. Step out of that comfort zone and work. Look at the David's life. Who was David? David was a shepherd. Then later he was made king. And the Bible says where he draw the design for the temple. Where did he get that knowledge? And David, you didn't do any architecting. You're not an engineer. You don't have any prior knowledge. You've not constructed any other buildings. But where did he got that? That was out of his skill set. Out of his comfort zone. He said, the hand of the Lord helped me. The hand of the Lord made him to draw the design. He had every excuse to give that. But the hand of the Lord helped him to do it. Consider the life of Moses. Moses was living a very comfortable life. He was flocking the herd of his father-in-law, enjoying the life around, nice life. But God had planned. God encountered him in the burning bush And Moses was shocked. God said, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt. Come now, I'm sending you. Moses shocked, Lord, who am I? Who am I that I should go and deliver your people? I am not eloquent. I'm slow in speech. I cannot speak. He has got every excuse. Maybe they might be relevant. He is trying to convince God with all the excuses. But God is seeing him beyond his excuses. God said, don't worry. I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God is bringing Moses out of his comfort zone. Saying, Moses, I have a bigger assignment. Come, please get out of your comfort zone. Go to the Egypt, deliver my people. And he did that. So God, flowing under the anointing, requires us to step out of our comfort zone. You know what is your comfort zone. I know what is my comfort zone. But we need to step out of that comfort zone and allow Holy Spirit. Because when we are operating under the anointing, we are not operating within my limit or within our limit. We are not limiting God. We are operating beyond our limit. And we are operating under the limitless anointing. The Holy Spirit is taking hold of it. And then when we are working outside the comfort zone, God does wonders. When you take the step of faith, God honors our step of faith. No, the Bible says we cannot please God without faith. And he honors the step of faith. Amen. Third thing, flowing with the anointing would require us to do what seems illogical and impossible. This is very important. Flowing under the anointing, sometimes we cannot understand what is happening. Oh, what is happening? Sometimes it is illogical. That is beyond our logical reasoning. My mind cannot explain this. Operating under anointing, sometimes my mind does not explain. It is illogical. It is impossible. I cannot sit and explain with a mathematical equation or the thesis and everything how it is happening. No, this is illogical. This is impossible. You see in the life of Elijah, how he ran ahead of the chariot. He was praying for the rain and he saw cloud and he saw the dark, thick cloud. And he said to his servant, go and tell to him that it's going to rain and let him go. And now suddenly the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And now, Elijah, what must have Elijah thinking? You be in the shoe of, in his position and just think, you got the anointing. You are sensing the powerful anointing of God. Now, how can you think that we can run ahead of the chariot of horses? It is humanly not possible. We cannot do that. But the anointing was for that. Anointing was for Elijah to run ahead of Ahab's chariot. And he recognized it. It is illogical. If he had used his mind, probably he wouldn't have done that. It is illogical and it is impossible. But he leaned himself to that anointing, to the leading of the Spirit. And he surrendered himself to that. And then he saw himself running ahead of Ahab's chariot. Amen. Amen. You see, when we also see this in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, called Peter, Peter, go to the sea, put a hook, catch the fish. The first fish you get, open its mouth, and you'll find a coin. Take that coin, go and pay tax for you and for me. But is there any logic in this? Jesus, if you want to do miracle, or if you want to say, go and find finance, at least Jesus would have directed him to go and meet treasurer. Go to and meet the treasurer. There is money in the treasury. Get the money. Go pay for me and for you. No. This is illogical, impossible. I cannot explain this. But that is what, when you're flowing under the anointing, requires. Amen. When you yield yourself to that, when you yield yourself and operate under the anointing, it is illogical and impossible. We cannot explain all the time. Amen. And next, fourth thing. Flowing with the anointing could look very normal and mundane, yet a powerful work of God is being released. Flowing under the anointing would look normal and it mundane, but the powerful work of God is being released inside of us. Look at the life of the Mary. Who was Mary? She was a normal human, but she was conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Amen. She was conceived with something that is significant, that is going to change the history of the mankind. And yet she has to go through the normal process. Normal process of spending 9 months of pregnancy before she giving birth. She went through that natural process. What is there inside? There is something powerful work of God. Oh, why can't she give birth on a day one itself? No. Though it looks powerful, you have to go through. Sometimes you have to go through normal process and mundane. But we should not neglect that process. Think about this example. If you're talking to a friend, you're a college student, you're going and talking to a friend every day, you're meeting your friends and you're sharing your life story or sharing the gospel, nothing is happening. But you're just doing, it looks very normal. But when you speak the word of God, you're sowing powerful seed inside their heart, inside their mind. The Bible says gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When that power will explode, we don't know. But you're doing it, looks normal. You're flowing with the anointing. You're led by the Spirit to share the gospel to him. You're doing it. It looks normal. It looks mundane. But the powerful seed is being sown in their heart. How God will work? It might take a process. God will work, definitely. But you are connected. You are flowing under the anointing, even though it looks normal. Amen. And the fifth thing, flowing under the anointing will require us to separate ourselves from what God is doing to ensure he alone gets the glory. This is very important. Once we flow under the anointing, we'll start getting fame. We'll become a center of attraction. We'll start getting that attention. But when you get that, it is very important for us to separate from that and ensure God alone gets the glory. We see in the book of Acts when the disciples did unusual miracles beyond their comprehension. Their handkerchiefs were used to heal the sick. Peter's shadow was used to raise the dead, raise the sick people. But when they saw people treating them as a god, when people treating them as a celebrities, what did they do? Brother, it is not what we do. It is not what our hands have done. But it is the God. We see that in Acts chapter 3, where John and Peter went to the temple on the way. They raised the lame. When people saw it, they were surprised. They shocked. And they started to praise them. Then said, no, it is not we. It is God. We can never, never, never steal the glory that belongs to God. Amen. We always, whenever you are operating under anointing, definitely God works. The gifts of the Holy Spirit express, the anointing expresses through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. People will see it. But when we become the center of attraction, it is very important to draw ourselves away from that and give glory to God. He deserves it. Because he is a source. We are not the source. He is the source. So it is very important when we operate under anointing to draw ourselves out and ensure he gets all glory. All glory only he gets. Amen. I want to pause here and ask, how many of you all are really understanding what I'm saying? Yes? Yes. So next thing, we see how we should not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench, grieve, or resist what the Holy Spirit is doing. We should never quench or grieve or resist what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know, we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. When do we quench? This is metaphorical expression saying that we cannot put out the fire, the burning fire, or extinguish the fire that is burning. No, it means there is a prompting in my spirit. The Holy Spirit is prompting, but I don't want to put out that prompting. Do not quench that Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, but yield to his prompting. Just obey his prompting. No, I remember when I was studying diploma in my hometown. So I had friends who used to regularly come and we used to come together and pray. And in one day we were meeting in college ground. No, they were businessmen, they were working somewhere out. So they came during the lunchtime, they called me and we went in the college ground, sat under the tree and we were just praying. It was just a normal time how we used to spend regularly, three of us. And then we started praying. We started praying and suddenly everybody started to feel something unusual. We started to prophesy over each other. Our present condition was totally different. We that was completely different. And we started to prophesy over each other what God is going to do in our lives in future. Next 5 years, 4 years, where God is going to take us. And we started to prophesy. That was very unusual. And we couldn't even believe that, because our present situation was totally contrary to that. It was totally against that. But we all did not held it up. We said, whatever the prompting of the Holy Spirit that is burning inside our hearts, let's release it. And we started to speak over each other's life. And years later, exactly it happened. I came to Bangalore. Somebody else went to Hyderabad. Somebody else started doing missions work. So it happened exactly what God prompted us to speak over their life. So when you sense that burning inside your heart, that prompting inside your heart, never hold it back. This happens usually whenever we are ministering to somebody, or ministering one-on-one with somebody, or leading worship, or spending time in worship, or sharing the word. You feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, don't hold back. Just submit to that prompting. And let that create an environment where that fire will keep burning. No, if you get a word for somebody, go up to them. This is what the Lord is saying. But be sensitive to what you're saying. And pray. If you feel like praying for somebody who is sick, go. Pray. If you feel somebody, like that Holy Spirit is prompting to share gospel, go. Share. Go out of work, out of your comfort zone. But never quench the Holy Spirit. And as do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve. When do we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we do something which He does not like us to do, then He gets sad. Then He gets grieved. If two people are in a relation, if they want to be happy, then they do what they like. If they start doing something which they don't like, obviously one of the person will be sad. They'll grieve. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. When we do something what Holy Spirit pleases, what He likes, then He's happy. But if you don't do what He likes, obviously He gets grieved. What does He like? He likes to glorify Jesus. The Bible says He glorifies God. He testifies about Jesus. That is one of the things that makes Him happy. Whatever He does on this earth, through His people, through the church, He glorifies Christ. So when you give glory to God, Holy Spirit is happy. In other words, when you steal glory from God, He's grieved. Why do we steal glory? Because of selfish motive, selfishness, pride, all these things. But Paul is writing to Ephesians here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Do not ever grieve the Holy Spirit. It is very important for us as a believers when we spend our day out in the world. Only one day we come to church, but 6 days we spend. And it is very important for us how we conduct ourselves. Do we grieve the Holy Spirit? We should check ourselves today. And next thing, do not resist the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the work of the Holy Spirit. No, we see in the book of Acts chapter 7 verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. When do we resist the Holy Spirit? When we want something which He doesn't want to do. We want our thing. Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something. We are resisting Him. No. I want to do what I want to do. Don't be like that. When you sense something Holy Spirit is asking you to do, just yield to it. This is what the whole message, what we are trying to learn today. When we sense that anointing, when we sense that prompting of the Holy Spirit, just lean onto it. Just surrender to it. And let that anointing, let that power of the Holy Spirit, anointing of the Holy Spirit, carry us forward wherever it wants us to take. We can only see that once we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the last thing, worship team, please come. And the last thing, stay in your assignment even after anointing lifts. So we know that we are anointed. We are filled with the Holy Spirit always. The Holy Spirit is there within us. But anointing comes for a specific task. When you finish that assignment or when you finish that task, the anointing becomes inactive or dormant, even in that position, you stay faithful to your assignment. Don't say, oh, the anointing has come. I finished the work. Everything is done. Now go back to your normal thing. No. Even when the anointing is lifted up, even when you feel the anointing is dormant, be faithful to the assignment that God has given to you. Amen. I want to encourage today all of us. This is all what I wanted to share today. But I want to encourage today, as we have all come with expectation, let's open our hearts for God to work. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit so far, today is the time. Today is the day. Don't delay. We saw from the word, until you are being filled, you cannot have outflow of the Holy Spirit. And this is a gift. You don't have to do anything. You ask, God said, come, drink. Come and drink. It means just go ask God, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And when God fills you with his Spirit, you will have the outflow of the Holy Spirit. The rivers will flow, but begins with filling up. So I want to encourage all of you today, if you have come here and you don't know the power of the Holy Spirit, you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, today is the time. You pray. You ask. Let's expect something that God will meet us today. Amen. Let's summarize what we learned today. First point, preparation. Preparation involves filling up and then stirring up the gifts of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Second, recognize the flow and go with it. Third, stay yielded and operate under the anointing. Fourth, do not quench, grieve, or resist what the Holy Spirit is doing. Fifth, stay in your assignment even after the anointing lifts. Amen. I request you all to rise to your feet. Let's respond to God. Spend some time in prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. Forget about who's sharing here. Just fix our focus on Jesus. If you believe today, you need that filling of the Holy Spirit. You have questions. You don't know how you're going to be filled. But today, you are just one prayer away to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Jesus promised, you come and drink the drink that I give. That will fill you. Not only it will fill you, but it will also make the rivers of living water flowing out of you. The flowing with the anointing is for everyone, every single person. Not only people who are there in the ministry, are doing any ministry job, but it is for every single person. It is for every single person. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today we are going to spend some time in prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to move here. Just surrendering to him. Surrendering to the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just saying, Lord, I just want to lean unto you. I just want you to move. Take control over everything, Father. Take control over everything that concerns me. I just want to lean onto that movement. I just want to lean onto that wave. I just want to lean on to that wind of the anointing of the Holy Spirit and let that wind take me forward wherever it wants, oh God. I just want to see, experience, and receive everything that you want to do today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, stretch forth your hand upon your people, oh God. Honors of Father, right from the road first till the end, O God. Let your mighty anointing flow, O God. Let your mighty arm be stretched forth, O Father. God, whatever situation that we are going through, Lord, with whatever problems or troubles that we have come here, O God, we want to surrender it before you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. I want to pray for the people who say you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of God. You cannot go empty from here. That is a gift of God. And it is our desire as a church that every single believer to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It is our desire that every single believer will operate in the anointing, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And today you don't have to go back without being filled with the Holy Spirit. All you need to do is just pray. Ask God. God said, come drink. Let's fix our focus on Jesus. If you wish, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to start praying in the tongues. Just ask God, pray. Pray, Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit moved as a mighty rushing wind. Let His wind move powerfully over here. Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, I pray that every heart that is genuinely seeking You, Lord, to fill them with Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that You will outpour Your Spirit upon them, Lord. That You will fill them with Your Spirit, oh God. That every weak being, Lord, let it be replaced with Your strength, oh God. Father, I pray the people, ones who are filled, are feeling dry in their lives. I pray, Holy Spirit, You will refill them, Lord. Re-anoint them, Lord. Reignite the fire in their hearts, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, let the power of God fill the hearts of the people, oh God. Lord, let Your mighty anointing come upon them, Lord. Let every heart that is genuinely seeking You, Lord, every heart that is dry to receive the rain from You, Lord, pour out Your rain over them, Lord. Flood their land with Your anointing, oh Father, Lord. Let Your river flow, Holy Spirit. Let Your river flow, God. Let Your river flow. Let Your river flow, God. Thank You, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. When you ask in the name of Jesus, there is power. Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Father, I take this moment, oh God. We call upon Your name, Lord Jesus. Father, that You will pour Your Spirit upon Your people, oh God. That every empty vessel will be filled with Your Spirit, oh God. That every empty vessel will be filled. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. If you feel you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to start praying in the tongues, just lift up your hands. Just want to pray for them. Just want to pray for them. If you find somebody lifting their hands, just walk up to them, left, right, front, back. Just gently lay hands on them and pray along with them. Just find somebody who has lifted their hands, Just go put your hand on them. Just gently, softly pray along with them. Thank You, Father, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. Let's fix our focus on Jesus. God will anoint us. That God will fill us with His Spirit. We want to see that happening here in our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as You promised in Your word, oh God, that You will pour out Your Spirit, that You will pour out Your anointing on every dry land, on every dry heart. You will flood us, oh Father. You flood the thirsty and dry land, oh God. Father, we pray that You will anoint us, oh God. That You will anoint us, that You will fill us, oh God. Let that filling happen today, Holy Spirit. We pray that you will move powerfully in our lives, Lord. Let all our weak beings, oh God, will be taken away. That you will fill us with your strength, oh God. That we will become mighty, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint us, oh God. Fill us. Fill us, oh God, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill us. If you have never tried praying in tongues, go ahead and just start praying in tongues by faith. As the Lord gives you the utterance, just pray in tongues. You don't have to think or be logical. Just obey. If you feel that you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, just start operating by faith. Start speaking in tongues by faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are an awesome God. Thank you, Lord Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're also going to pray for healing. If anybody wants healing in your body, we'll lift up the name of Jesus here. The presence of God is, we believe the presence of God is here. If you come here with sickness in your body, be it anything, any problem, you need emotional healing or physical healing, or you need the Lord's intervention, the divine intervention into your situation, or you feel that you're being bound with chains, or you feel that you've been in the bondage for a very long time, for years probably, this is a time. We surrender in the presence of God. We ask God, Lord, stretch forth his hand. That Lord will heal. That we speak the power of the Holy Spirit over everything. Let's pray. If you need healing, just pray to God. Whatever that you're going through, he is a source of our healing. Let's cry out on his name. Bible says, those who call upon his name shall be saved, shall be healed. And today we pray that God will move with compassion. That whatever area we need, healing, deliverance, miracle, that God will do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we bring every single person before your presence, Lord. Every heart that needs healing, Lord. Every body that needs healing, O Father. Every mind that needs healing, O Lord. Every soul that needs deliverance, O Father. We bring it before you, Lord. Father, we pray that you stretch forth your hand, O God. Lord, move with compassion, Holy Spirit, Lord. God, that you will heal every body, Lord, Father. That every disease will begin to vanish from their bodies, oh Father. Every sickness will be healed in the name of Jesus. Every medical condition will subdue in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray every problem in the brain will be healed in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, Holy Spirit, we just invite your anointing. We just surrender to your anointing, your leading, Lord. Holy Spirit, Father, to heal your people, Lord. Move over your people, oh Father. Heal us, Lord. Let every condition be healed, oh God. Lord, I pray the chains that are holding from years, oh Lord. The bondage that seems impossible to be delivered. I pray, Lord, let your anointing break every yoke in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold be broken in the name of Jesus. And set your people free. We pronounce this over your people, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship your holy name, Lord. Father, we praise your holy name, Lord. We adore your holy name. We lift up your name, Lord. You deserve all the glory, honor, and praise, O God Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is the one who was, the Lamb who was slain. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We honor you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If anybody feel that you're filled with the Spirit, you started, you began to pray in tongues, can I see your hands? If somebody that you start, one hand I see here, praise God, praise God. I see one hand there, praise God. Praise God, praise God. So God has... that you will start stirring it. Amen. Amen. Also want to check somebody who we have come here with sickness or pain in your body. During the prayer you feel healed or something happened. No, just check your bodies. Do what you couldn't do. Try to do what you couldn't do. If you feel that Lord has healed you, you can just raise up your hand. Or if you want to go back and check with the reports, do testing and do testing and get the reports and check. You can do that. And if you feel the Lord has healed you, you can write to us and share your testimony at testimony@apc.org. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Father, Holy Spirit.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the life that is flowing into us, even as we respond to your word this morning, God. Yes, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you for all that you are speaking to us,
yes, Lord.
All that you are doing in our lives, God. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So grateful for God's presence and His power in our lives. Just praise Him. Worship and honor Him. So Lord, may you be glorified, you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, let's also take a moment to appreciate Ram for ministering this morning. Can we all just clap? Thank you, Ram, and God bless you. We really pray, may the Lord continue to use you mightily for the glory of His name and the extension of His kingdom. And we appreciate your ministry. Thank you. I want to take some time to pray for anyone. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I don't have the assurance of salvation, or that you've never prayed a prayer to receive Jesus into your life as your personal Savior, just want to pray with anyone who feels this way. If you feel a nudge, the Holy Spirit in your heart, just go ahead, pray this prayer with me. Right? So just go ahead and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price on the cross for my sins. You are the Son of God. I repent of my sins. I welcome you into my heart. Make me a child of God. Help me to live for you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If anyone has prayed this prayer this morning, could you just lift up your hand to indicate to us so that we can hand you some resources and we can also pray for you. Is there anyone you've prayed this prayer for the very first time today? Even if there's anyone online, you could please let us know. Okay, I don't see any hands going up. However, if there is anyone who's prayed this prayer, please do meet with the volunteers, meet with us after the service. Thank you once again, church, for being here this morning. Truly blessed by God's word. Let's go ahead. We'll just wrap up this service. Let's pray and just speak God's benediction over us. Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for all that we are learning, Father, the way in which you're leading us. We honor you, Lord, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.